Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
Rosh Hashanah marks the start of a new year, a time of humble prayer, joyful celebration, and hope for a new beginning.
We know there is more that unites peoples of faith than divides us. So as Ramadan draws to a close, let us hold on to that spirit of community throughout the year.
Here you have a global organization that is spiritual and yet will bring together Muslims, Jews, Christians, and say, look, we all agree that there's some good big thing out there, but we're not going to put a label on it. Let's worship together.
In our culture, we have a three-headed monster, what I call the unholy trinity: pluralism, relativism, and universalism.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc.
Well, some discoveries, especially in archaeology, sound too good to be true. This is one of those, when you first hear it, you think, okay, this sounds too good to be true. Someone claims to have found ancient Egyptian coins bearing the image and name of Joseph. Now, we all know the story from the book of Genesis. In fact, it occupies a big part of the book of Genesis, the so-called Joseph novella. It's practically half the book, and it's a story, of course, of one of the younger sons of Jacob, the patriarch, who is sold into slavery by his brothers into Egypt. He passes from hand to hand until he eventually rises to be second in all of Egypt. The entire Egyptian empire put under his control during a time of famine and plenty, and he manages to get not only Egypt but everyone else through it very nicely. Joseph. It makes sense that there would be coins perhaps minted with his image and his name, but are these authentic? We're going to talk about this discovery. Dr. Ben Witherington joins us here for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 29th. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can always Twitter us at @issuesetc. A little bit later, after we have our conversation with Dr. Ben Witherington, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us to talk about a mix-up, tragic mix-up sometimes, of embryos in in vitro fertilization clinics. We'll also talk about a pro-gay video used in some California schools. We'll remember St. Michael and All Angels on this day along with the rest of the church. Dr. Lewis Brighton of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis will be our guest. Dr. Ben Witherington is professor of New Testament for doctoral studies at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. He's author of more than 30 books, including The Jesus Quest, The Paul Quest, and two new novels, The Lazarus Effect and Roman Numerals. Dr. Witherington, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
This one just sounds too good to be true. How do the bona fides of this particular archaeological discovery, these coins bearing the likeness and name of Joseph, come out for you?
Well, right now I'd just say, show me the money. I got to see it before I'm even likely to believe it. Because, you know, there are always these fantastic claims. And am I dubious that it's even possible? No, I certainly think it's possible. Is it likely? Well, what I know about that period of pharaonic history is that money was not the primary means of exchange. So the whole issue is, why would there be these hordes and hordes of coins from this period if bartering was the main means of exchange? So that's one question. And then the second question would be, why would Joseph's picture be on this money anyhow, since he's not Pharaoh? You know, it's not like it's a picture of George Washington or Abraham Lincoln. This is not the leader of the country. So, you know, I will have to see it to believe it, to be honest with you.
So I sense, and I hope I don't overstate it, that you are dubious at this point.
I am. I certainly wouldn't want to rule it out, but usually, as you said, when claims that are made that are too good to be likely, if not true, then they probably are. And so, you know, I would want very careful scrutiny done. One of the issues, of course, is going to be dating as well. And I'd like to see the form of the name on the coin because, of course, we have no idea what Joseph looked like. So how would we know this was his picture? So the all-crucial bit, of course, will be the name on it and the way the name is written and that sort of stuff. So on further review, we need to do further study. But if it is what it purports to be, then several things follow. We're going to know a lot about exactly what period Joseph was in Egypt and what Pharaoh he served under, and this is going to help with Old Testament chronology, never mind the fact that it's going to provide a sort of collateral justification for believing that these narratives about Joseph are historically substantive.
How ancient, if they prove to be authentic, how ancient would this currency end up being?
Well, what I know about I've just written a book called Jesus and Money in hard financial times, and my study of the history of money suggests that money was not a primary means of exchange before the turn of the era, so far as we can tell, by which I mean before the time of Jesus. Well, Joseph lived a very long time before Jesus, so this would be a surprising discovery on any showing. If, you know, we've got these huge hoards of coins. Now, it is true, of course, that the Egyptian civilization was miles and reams ahead of Israelite civilization and Hebrew civilization at that period. But even so, you need to have somebody to trade with who can take money and share money. So, you know, it's surprising, to say the least.
I mean, the narrative, I guess this, I'm kind of speculating in my mind, the narrative suggests to someone who may not understand that money may be an anachronism here, that if he isn't put in charge of the Egyptian economy, in essence, I mean, that's how the narrative of the Bible reads, that he is there not only collecting the foodstuffs for a coming famine, but also in charge of dispensing it during the time of famine. I imagine how someone, a wily collector or someone else might say, hey, this is a likely thing, and simply come up with a hoax.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing. Before it was money, it was metal. And metal was a means of exchange. You know, pieces of silver, pieces of gold that are not turned into coins, not smelted, and various other things. It's one thing to talk about actual money. It's another thing to talk about, say, a piece of gold that has a king's symbol on it. You know, it's like a person who buys gold bricks today. Okay, it could be a means of exchange, but it's not money. It's the use of precious metals for trading. And that was certainly done in antiquity. So, again, I want to see the form of this. Is it really money to begin with?
Do we have, to your knowledge, any reliable archaeological evidence for Joseph's sojourn, in particular this period of time in the biblical narrative in Egypt? I've heard it said, look, there's just no evidence that a Hebrew ever rose to prominence in the hierarchy of ancient Egypt.
Yeah, well, either way, it's an argument from silence. In other words, the pharaonic evidence that we have from Middle Dynasty and earlier dynasties and all of that is mostly circumstantial. It's not like we have a big old papyrus that says, and this pharaoh was succeeded by this pharaoh that was succeeded by this pharaoh, and by the way, the Secretary of the Treasury during those years was A, B, and C. The record is spotty at best, and what we're really relying on is not records as we would have them, but inscriptions. And that's very sporadic. You know, you find an inscription stone here or there, and, you know, you're fortunate to find it. There's so many gaps and holes in the record that we have. So Is there compelling evidence that Joseph didn't do this? No, there's certainly no such evidence as that. Is there compelling evidence in the Egyptian record that he did do this? Not so much. No, there's not. So it's an argument from silence either way at this point.
With only a minute, Dr. Witherington, if you would, it seems as though you would urge caution in this and other cases. Why is it best that Christians who take the narrative of Holy Scripture, Old and New Testament seriously, suspend judgment and proceed with caution when we hear reports such as this? About 30 seconds.
Well, the main thing I would say is this. Don't leap to conclusions, but be open-minded, you know. I mean, one of the things a conservative Christian tends to do is they already believe the Bible, and then when something like this comes along, they say, aha, this proves the Bible. Well, if it turns out to have feet of clay, so to speak, then what happens? Do we say this disproves the Bible or discredits the Bible? So I would just simply say patience until it can be carefully studied, and maybe it does provide some confirmation for something that's in the Bible. And if so, this would be very remarkable because, to my knowledge, it would be the very first extra-biblical evidence we have about one of the patriarchs in some non-text object, like a coin. It would be the very first evidence like that.
Dr. Ben Witherington is professor of New Testament for doctoral studies at Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. He's author of more than 30 books, including The Jesus Quest, The Paul Quest, and two new novels, historical novels, The Lazarus Effect and Roman Numerals. You can purchase these novels under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Dr. Witherington, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
When we come back from this break, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be our guest. She's joining us to talk about, first, a story that, well, all is well that ends well in this case, but you just think, my goodness, how could it happen that an embryo would be not only mislabeled, not only missent, but also misinserted? I don't even know what verb to use. Misimplanted? In a womb. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Also about a film that circulates in California schools, some of them, in favor of homosexuality.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial will match 50 cents on each dollar you donate to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. So if you donate $300 to Lutheran Public Radio, Thrivent will send us an additional check for $150. For more information, look for the Thrivent Giving Plus gift form under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Make your gift to us go further with Thrivent Giving Plus.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. And you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org. Click Promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the Promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Giggle Free Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in word and sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.